Hello and welcome to Not Quite Robot War. there will be no actual combat robotics games today, guys. Don't be fooled by the title. We're not creating a new golden era of robot wars. We're here discussing the golden era of robot wars. A little bit of a left field thing here, but I'm sure you guys enjoy it. I am joined by someone you may recognize if you watch Yiz the Unix channel. I'm joined by Kizza GT. Say hello, Kizza.
How's it going, all? Welcome, friends.
Good to have. To be fair, you've been trying to get me to do this for ages, and I've thought it was a good idea. I've just not had time. It's been terrible. It's been like a year.
Should we give the audience a bit of context to this?
You know what? We'll give them a smidge of context, yeah.
Okay, so basically, me and Scrump first met on Yiz the Unix channel, one of the early Discord and Dragons. And next thing you know, I heard word that there was a big North FC meetup, to call it politely. I go up there, meet Scrump, and meet the rest of the gang. And then while we're happily enjoying some drinks, chatting away about things that you're not allowed to chat about on the internet, we realize, oh wait, we love our robot wars. We thought, you know what, we should do a video together. Ideally, it was meant to be four of us, if memory serves. Yeah, it was meant to be us two, Trig, and Evelyn, if memory serves. And yeah, we had this on the back burner for over 2 years. But now we're here.
We are here
to talk about it.
I did ask Trig, but he's very busy with Christmas. Although Trig will be back for the next episode of It's Okay, We're From the Internet. We're skipping December with that, but we will be having one in relatively early January. We'll be actually covering, as we teased last time, in the Terrier Davis video, we'll be covering... I've almost forgotten his name there, but I know who it's. David Dees. Sorry, I always get him mixed up slightly with Ben Garrison, but he has a very different story than Ben Garrison. But that's what everyone asks where Trig's gone. Trig isn't gone. He's not gone anywhere. He's existing in the real world. I'm just playing a bit of footage in the background here, actually, of the Robot Wars is slightly confusing to people who study like the history of combat robotic stuff, because it's the name used for a few things. The original Robot Wars, as we see here, is from 1997 in San Francisco. But what we're talking about here is the Robot Wars TV series, originally from 1998 in the UK. Kind of late 1997, early 1998 was the first series. But it is a little bit different in that it is a kind of a renamed American thing, but it really has nothing to do, apart from being combat robotics, with the original incarnation of Robot Wars.
Yeah, I remember there was a VHS copy which came with the original World Championship of the UK Robot Wars, and it spoke about 95 to 97
in
American. It's quite mad how different machines the Americans had compared to the UK versions.
It is.
It's quite striking.
Part of it, as we'll get to later, is due to the format. As we'll see here, there are a couple of hazards in this version. There's like an arena hook and there's like an arena swinger. But the big thing with Robot Wars in the UK was really the shape of the pit. As we'll see here, I believe this is Doughboy. It's a footage of an old robot called Doughboy at Robot Wars. And if I quickly pause this and we go over to have just a quick look at the way... This is the new Robot Wars, the 2018. I believe this is from one of the... I'm not sure if this is one of the video games or not. It's a bit blurry.
No.
That's actual footage, yeah.
That's actually from the new series. I mean, I played the... obviously, that's the old arena,
yes,
but a slightly updated version, of course, because it's changed quite a lot over the years, especially if you go from... If you look at season 2, season 3 versus season 4 onwards, there's quite a few changes.
But one
and
of the,
then obviously, yeah,
the big things, the big changes in Robot Wars was the presence of the pit in all of the various UK incarnations.
Oh, yes. Especially when they had the pit release.
the pit release. That was fun. I might get a clip of that up in a little bit. I believe one of my clips might have a pit release on it, though. And if it doesn't, I'll go fetch one. Because luckily, as we'll see, we're not too worried about copyright, because a lot of this is on YouTube. A lot of this is already on YouTube already. But for those who don't know, we'll be talking mainly about the first series that ran from 1998 all the way to 2004. And namely, we'll be focusing on kind of seasons, really kind of 2 and 3, where the format really takes off, right through to series kind of 6 and 7, although 7, it was kind of petering out by then, and that was the last of the classic Robot Wars series.
Yeah, because that's when, memory serves, that's when it shifted to Channel 5.
Yes, it did. It was Channel 5.
Yeah, and then I don't think it got the same ratings, hence why it was dropped, which is quite a shame, really, because I don't know what it is. As soon as something leaves the BBC, it goes to another channel, it seems to just die off.
I think they were also somewhat straining at the edge of the format. It had been going for 7 series, and by that point, some of the energy really had just come out of it. But I will
I mean, it makes you laugh that those of us who grew up with it, we're so used to Craig Charles, and then finding out, oh, wait, the first season was hosted by Jeremy Clarkson?
Yes, I have a very...
It's quite mad.
Nice segue. I have a very nice clip of that, because I like his little intro to the first episode of the original Robot Wars, which, by the way, borderline unwatchable, in my opinion. I'm sorry, but having seen the later series...
Yeah, that's true.
Season 1 is so boring. Half the bots don't work correctly, but I'll put him up. Jeremy Clarkson's little spiel is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, especially when he calls a killer on that, his friend. That was funny.
Man may have tempered the specter of nuclear evil.
Hopefully the audio's coming through for the audience.
Task yes. Of reporting that warfare has been taken out of man's hands.
I know, so we're well, seeing a young Jeremy Clarkson.
Machines and a battle the likes of which we've never seen before is about to begin.
Yes.
Outside the studio, women have lashed themselves to the railings. Britain is about to witness the birth of Robot Wars, which is all about robots fighting.
Thank you, Jeremy. Very
men
cool.
And women have spent up to 6 months building these machines.
I mean, that's clearly American robots.
Yes, that's clearly... That's who's that guy? What's that one called? The one with the big saw and the big bulb wheels.
Oh, God, I forgot what it was called, but I know it won, like, the 96 tournament.
Yeah, it did, because the guy who makes it also made, like, a giant robotic snake. Oh, there she is, Philippa Forrester. She continues throughout the show. I knew there was some Philippa in here, because she does all of the all the pit reporting. Philippa Forrester.
Except for Extreme, that was, I think it was Julia Reed was her name.
Yes, and she's in took over a bit. She's in one of the main series where Philippa Forrester was having a baby. Yes, she's in
season 5, yeah.
Yeah, she's out while Philippa's having a baby, but really, I'll pause Clarkson for now, just so the audio's not too muddled, because I've turned him down a bit. But yeah, Clarkson was kind of experiment in series 1 of Robot Wars. I think he was okay, but he didn't quite have the energy of Craig Charles. He was not somebody who had the enthusiasm of Craig Charles, put that way. We'll get to Craig Charles and his performance and what he did in a little bit. But first of all, I was going to ask you, like, Kizza, what does Robot Wars mean to you? Like, what are your overriding memories of this now honestly, absolutely classic series?
Yeah. Okay, now the first one I started watching was season 4. Okay, so I came into it basically right as it hit its golden era, I would call it. And for me, I think it was like the first show, which as a kid you watched, and then you go turn up at school next day and all your friends are all talking about it. It was one of the first shows that was all about in the know. I mean, you think I was about 7 years old at the time, and you think, back then at school, I can't speak for you or others, it was Robot Wars or Pokemon. And ironically, if we talk more about Robot Wars than Pokemon back in the day, we all know how big Pokemon was in the late 90s.
Ah, yes.
A cultural phenomenon.
I'll probably play some of these clips again, but I'm going to have a little bit of the Out of the Arena compilation footage in the background. As a taster.
That's season 3, Firestorm and Chaos 2.
Firestorm and Chaos 2 is, as we'll get on to, they are indicative of the Brit Flippers. And really, I believe Out of the Arena wasn't supposed to happen at this point. They weren't allowed to do it at first because they worried they would damage the camera tracks.
That is true, yeah. In fact, I think it was in season 6 or season 7, Gravity, a Dutch CO2 flipper, actually flipped a robot and actually hit one of the cameras.
Yes, the
and you actually see it live, like knock it, hit the camera. So, and those cameras are not cheap.
No,
I mean even back then, like I mean, yeah, they're going to seem cheap now with the inflation, but back then they must have been like easily 5-digit cameras.
They were, and as you can see, this robot does fall onto the camera track there, it's kind of good that they became good sports about that, because Out of the Arenas became so popular, which really is what led to British combat robotics having a flipper meta in many ways. A lot of the golden age of robot wars is about flippers, specifically what people refer to as the Brit flippers.
Oh yeah, there's KS2 and Tornado there. That was season 4 in the knockouts. I think it was last 16, if memory serves. I believe it was last 16. I'm just trying. I might get the dates of this wrong, so please don't crucify me in the chat if I get match details wrong. Oh, no. This Stinger with Stinger.
Oh, there he is. He's picking him up with, again, we'll introduce them all as time goes on a little bit, but if you are not familiar with Robot Wars, this is not a mismatch. So Kill a Lot is one of the house robots.
And basically, they have their own corner patrol zones. Now, what did kind of make me laugh was in season 3, in the older seasons, this was up until Extreme, you used to have 4 house robots in all 4 corners, but they dropped it to 2.
Yes.
And he used to randomize when it was, and he used to always introduce them as well.
Behemoth getting flipped by a lobster.
Man, Behemoth, I feel so sorry for them, because they are one of the unluckiest robots ever in the series.
Famously, I don't have the, 13 years of pain and hurt clip with Jonathan going fucking ham. But they did eventually win a first round match in the Revival series, but they were quite notorious for never getting out of the first round. It's kind of amazing how many Ootas Thermidor actually has.
Yeah, I mean, Thermidor there, that's, I think, season 4 Extreme or season 5. But, the original Thermidor didn't have the flipper. It just had these pathetic lobster pincers, which were useless. But I think Thermidor did originally in the Golden Era actually hold the record for most out of the arena flips.
Yes,
I might be wrong on that. I remember hearing that once, but then again, that could be just lies from the commentator. Ah, yes, this famous Battle of Somerset.
Yes.
I love this battle. Just watch, ladies and gentlemen.
Battle here. Wheelie Big Cheese is the quicker machine. Both 99 kilos, both from Langport in Somerset. Axel flip!
It was an ideal flip, but good lord.
Yeah, that's at least 15 feet in the air.
By the way, guys, these are heavyweight robots. They weigh, are they 200
to 100 kilos?
Yeah, I think they were. They're about 200 pounds.
Because I think before Extreme, they actually had a weight limit of 80 kilos.
Yes.
For the heaviest class, although if you had a leg robot, you had double the weight.
Yes.
And then from Extreme onwards, it was 100 kilos. I can't remember if the new series, the Revival, increased that weight. I think it might have.
I think it was 85, and then it eventually went up to maybe, I think it ended up as 100 in the new series. I know it's 100 kilograms in BattleBots, but
I know they did the double weight for leg robots as a compromise. Although there was one American robot I remember took liberties with that. I think it was called Drillzilla, and basically it was a leg robot, quote unquote, but it functioned like a track robot.
Yes.
And they could get away with putting ridiculously thick armor on it. So basically, I think Razor fought against it. Razor's trying to penetrate it, and it's just nope. Just nope.
We'll get onto
the
different types of bots in a sec. I talked about them earlier, but the other part of this equation of classic robot wars is the kind of hype manning and the great fit that was Craig Charles, kind of just off the back of Red Dwarf. He was kind of a slightly hot TV commodity at this point. I'd also remember him from Takeshi's Castle as well, as many people will do. But his announcing on Robot Wars was quite infectious. We'll have a listen here, because he's just silly enough for it.
Well, if a player gets angry, he'll show you his claws, but we'll show you flamethrowers on Robot Wars. Bye-bye.
Forget about bullfighting. Yeah, he just has that element of, sarcasm, but you know he's, playing it up. That's why I liked him as well when I watched him on Red Dwarf. He has that sarcasm, but he's living in the moment with it.
It's all his little outros.
And most people, when they think Craig Charles, they instantly think, oh, wait, you mean that guy from freaking Coronation Street?
Once ruled by the great dinosaurs.
And we talk about Fall from Grace.
And we've still got one left on Robot Wars.
that's enough of him for now. But he is kind of a quite a big force within this.
Oh, yes.
But we will get on to a little bit about kind of the, not the meta of Robot Wars, but some of the ins and outs of robot combat, what is successful, what isn't successful, and why different designs take hold. Because the first discussion I want to have really is about the fact that we talked about the Brit flippers. They're an extension of this format because when the flippers break, they just become wedges. But there's a big thing, yeah, especially in like lower rank robot combat, that there's this truism of wedges win.
Yep. As soon as you get underneath him, you're screwed.
And really, that was a not so much a truism, but a reality in the first series of Robot Wars we talked about. It was won by this robot here, Roadblock, who is quite literally a wedge just made out of road signs. And they were the winner of the first Robot Wars, which should show you really how narrow the field was during the first wars, like, that it was won by a simple wedge. That's really why the first wars are not considered the most of classic of series, put it that way.
They're the epitome of what we call beta. That's like the giant pre-alpha builds. They're like, yes, the alpha build of Robot Wars.
Well, series two of Robot Wars, or the Second Wars, as it is called, was won by this robot. Not in this form. This is a slightly later form of Panic Attack, with the skirts.
Yeah, that's.
But yeah, there's Boxy Boy. There's the Boxy.
Pure Boxy Boy. Now, I will say this to give context to this. This was a.
Oh, you've died there, I'm afraid.
On in the final against Cassius, if memory serves.
Yes.
Which was the first main CO2 flipper robot. But Panic Attack managed to win it by basically just pushing it straight into a pit.
The big thing about Panic Attack was the fact that it is a very maneuverable bot, it's got very good control, and it is very, very well driven.
Kim Davis was, who's Welsh, the main driver and builder, he was always renowned for his control. And Panic Attack was always very smooth around the rope. It wasn't super fast, but it was always very composed with the way it maneuvered. And especially its old tactic was to use its forks, get something on its back, and then eventually get next to the pin, just dump it. That was its old tactic.
Yes.
And Panic Attack, especially, if you want to talk about evolution of a robot, just you saw what Panic Attack looked like in Caesar 2. It was just a wedge. But then they added the skirts, they added the roof streamer,
yes,
as well.
I'll actually put that fight on quickly in the background. Without sound, of course. I'm not going to have it go.
Killatron, my God.
Roadblock and Killatron. This is that's plastic armor. This is kind of the state of things in the Second Wars. Because
yeah.
Roadblock did make the semifinals again.
Yeah. I think Killatron literally just had paper mache as armor.
Because
the axe. I think the axe is broken. I don't mean the axe is working. I'm pretty sure it's broken.
Again,
which is quite funny.
Series 2 did not have also the best quality of robot.
Look, there's Dead Metal there. Talk about Jesus Christ. Dead Metal looks naked there.
Yes. There's been quite a bit of development of the house robots as time goes on. We'll get to the house robots in a second. But here's just a bit of an example of. Where is the Panic Attack fight, or is that the losers bracket fight?
I think
that's Panic Attack. But it is a relentless. It's not quite a push bot. It does have the forks.
It's actually surprisingly durable. That's the funny thing about Panic Attack. Like it is surprisingly very durable. So yeah, there's Cassius, which did have a wedge, but had a pretty powerful CO2 flipper.
Cassius is one of the original kind of Brit flippers. CO2-powered flippers.
Sure.
I like the little Welsh flag that Panic Attack's got there. But yeah,
it was representing, got to represent.
Yes. Up and over, which is... I wonder the first times we've seen an up and over that's not disabled the robot, because a lot of the clashing together, even in the third series, really, of Robot Wars, would disable one of the bots. Part of that was due to the unreliable removable links. And also
right here.
Yeah, there we go. So straight into the pit.
Just catches him straight in the pit.
It really is. Panic Attack's one of the great examples of having a a usable active weapon of control like forks, and also just being very well driven, will make you extremely powerful in the arena. But what I'll do is I'll put this back on, actually, in the background. And we're going to have a quick talk about kind of this idea of really Series 3 onwards, you have the domination of the flipper.
Oh, yes, for sure, for sure. Like, I mean, the main culprit being... Oops, sorry. Yeah, the main culprit basically being Chaos 2, because Chaos 2, for those who don't know, was the winner of Season 3 and Season 4, the only back-to-back champion that ever there has been in the UK championships, I should say. I believe Razor technically is back-to-back world champions, but that's a whole different format.
That is, yes.
And there's Napalm being flipped out by Thermidor. God. The Neymar boys are mini-bots.
The mini-bots. I was waiting for this to come on, because there was lots of little gimmicks within the show as well. You talked about the three formats.
This is the Extreme Series, where you could argue it became a bit more like sort of WWE aspect, where they had like... You had a knockout stage for like a tournament, but also you had like... Then you had like grudge matches, you had like tag team division. So yeah, like I quite like the Extreme Series for that, because it really did mix up the format a lot.
Well, I do actually have the featherweight battle.
This. Yeah, man, like this is hilarious. Like these things weigh like a couple of kilos.
Yes, these are really, really tight. Look at them compared to RefBot, they're tiny. But you mentioned the Extreme format. The thing is, there's Robot Wars, the main series, there's Extreme, and then there's also the World Championships. So there's quite a slightly fractured format in terms of who won what where. Because if you watch Season 2, 3, and 4 in the main series, you wouldn't think Razor was a particularly special robot. Because I believe it went out in 2, because it did exist all the way back from Series 2, Razor. It was a slightly more primitive form, but it did.
Like the issue with Razor in the UK Championships back then, it was just reliability. Like, I remember, like, the most hilarious one. Talk about... You want to talk an example of shooting yourself in the foot? Just look up how Razor got eliminated in Season 3. It literally immobilized itself with its tail.
Yes, it did.
Because his tail got, like, pinched into, like, the ground or the floor. And it couldn't lower it because it was basically wedged in and basically immobilized itself.
Yeah, it did. And then as we'll get on to in Series 4, because I'm going to use this as a bit of a lead-in to talk about Razor.
Man, it just makes me feel nostalgic when watching all this. Like, it's actually... Extreme, I actually do remember recording on VHS videos. Like, remember the old VHS recording blank tapes? Back in the day, that's why I used to record a lot of these Extreme series. So it was a nightmare trying to remember, okay, this one's Extreme, this one's thing. And the worst bit is when you record something and someone else has overridden it. That's the worst when someone does that.
Oh, that's it. I had some of these on VHS as well, and I always got confused between Extreme, the main series, the World Championships they did. So I mainly watched the normal series, and I actually watched Extreme a little bit later. As it was shown here this is a different TV channel, but it was on things like Challenge TV and a lot of the UK TV networks in the UK for a long time. It kind of just lived on them.
And also, I think I can't remember if it was on Dave or what used to be called UKG G2.
Yes, it's been on Dave. It's been on all of those basically. But that's a little bit the Extreme format, a little bit wackier. Where is Razor here? Have I got Razor? Oh, there it is.
There he is. Oh god, that iconic design. Oh,
that is the iconic. Man. Is that wingless Razor? Or is it
wings? It's that's Season 5 or Season 6 Razor.
Ah, okay. I'll have a look through.
That's because you could tell by that sort of wedge protectors on the front wheels. That like Extreme Season 5 onwards. That's how you could tell. But my god, just look at that thing. You're just like, my god, that thing is menacing. That's like season three Razor. Yeah, that's old Razor right there.
I believe that might even be series two Razor because it doesn't have...
Quite possibly.
It doesn't have the self-writing mechanism.
No, you're right, you're right. That's season two, yeah, yeah.
And because of the flipping meta, as we've seen much footage of earlier, you have to be able to self-write in Robot Wars. As they called it, the Shremek was very important.
Yeah, because if he was on your back... For like, I think it was 30 seconds. If you couldn't write yourself within 30 seconds, you were automatically eliminated. It was effectively the equivalent of like a knockout in boxing.
It's like a TKO. And there's also, the rules are 10 counts, obviously. If a robot's completely destroyed and can't move, or is disabled and can't move, they will be counted down. A robot can technically... Can technically be seen as immobilized if it's wedged up against the arena side, or if it's on its side, or if it's upside down and can't do what they call controlled movement, in quotes. I don't know.
Yeah.
The controlled movement thing was always a mystery to everybody.
well, there was, like, for instance, let's say, I remember this happened in Extreme. It was that match between Chaos 2 and Smitsy. There's one point Smitsy sort of pinned on the wall, and obviously it can't move, but Chaos 2... accidentally misses the critical flip and ends up on its back, and it couldn't right itself, so it was classified as a draw because both of them were immobilized. But I think if you're stuck on a rope like that, I think RefBot will knock you off to continue you because you're basically pinned.
Yes,
because like that's considered like, well, he's not immobilized, but the thing is he can't move because he's pinned, because he's hung up on the wall effectively. It's a weird thing, those kind of like immobilized rules. Generally, it's basically a case of if you don't move or you're on your back where you can't right yourself, then it's immobilized. But if you're sort of pinned up on the arena, they tend to like not give you a chance to move. Although with Razor, I will say this, the grand final of the World Championship when he faced against Behemoth, there's a little bit of controversy regarding that. Final.
Oh, there's lots of controversy regarding Razor's finals. I didn't want to have it just be a Razor
clip. That was the first one.
We'll go over the fact that the Razor team got a bit of a reputation because of a certain clip for being maybe a slight bit whiny. But I'm trying to find the correct.
Is it against Pussycat in season 4?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Because of this so-called gentleman's agreement.
Yes, I'll see if I can find the gentleman's agreement clip.
I'll find it.
I did have it up, but I think there it is. It's even at the right timestamp. But there's a little bit of controversy here because yes, we'll go back a little bit to the clip here because they did get the bot quite roundly destroyed.
It's damaged his backwards. It's screwed. Razor, surprisingly enough, it didn't get that much damage. That's the thing. A lot of it's just little bit of scratches.
You can see the...
The
bearings, some of the bearings are out of it. I believe it had Omni wheels at one point, didn't it? Not this incarnation.
I think it was the season 6 or the the World Championship 2. It had some special rubber spike wheels with some tweaked motors, and I remember they said they spent a few thousand on it. I'm like, God damn it, boys, how much money are you making to be able to pump this money into it?
There were a few robots that had a lot pumped into them. Chaos 2, we saw there doing the world's first out of the arena, was actually quite a cheap bot to build.
Yeah, it was, because it barely changed between the seasons. And I remember apparently George said he didn't have any spare cash to improve it.
No, they taped literally a piece of aluminium to the back of it at one point.
It was really made out of the bare essentials, effectively. Whereas, if you want to talk about expensive flops, do you remember Mortis?
University. Yes, I do. That was very funny. I'll play this clip pretty quickly of the Razor team being a little bit petulant.
Group A, Group B, or Group C, was it? That's Ian Lewis there,
We got 3 tons of pressure.
A little bit petulant.
When we
went
against Mini Hamburg earlier, we held back because
it does come off quite petty when considering these are fully grown men, clearly in late 20s, early 30s.
Grab control after about 10 seconds, and then they just lay into it. There's a lot of my life involved in this machine. Here it lies.
I mean, I'm sorry, that's the nature of the sport there. Your bot is going to get destroyed at some point for the entertainment of the crowds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just look up any victim. Does any robot half the time against Hypnodisc?
Yes. Again,
which we'll get to eventually.
As we will get to, but I'll go to in a few minutes. I was going to go through a couple more robots here. Chaos 2 was the champion of both Series 3 and Series 4. We saw it in action earlier. It is a big CO2 powered flipper. Very iconic robot. Very iconic design, very simple design. It didn't develop, and I think you're right. Once they raised the weight limit, I think Chaos 2 was a bit outdated because it hadn't moved on.
It was still, 80 kilos. They might have bumped it up slightly, if memory serves, in Dream in Season 5, but the problem was that a lot of the robots around it improved, like Firestorm there.
Yeah.
That drastically improved from Extreme onwards.
Yes,
I mean, Season 4, it did really well, but like you see there, I think it's, Season 6, is it? Yeah, Firestorm 5. I think that's Season 6 or Series 7. But you see the drastic formation. You got a much bigger flipper. You got that titanium wedge.
A much sharper much wedge, yeah, because it's that's Firestorm 4.
4.
And Firestorm 5 is quite a lot better. To be fair, Firestorm, that was the original with the belts.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a very good design. That's very indicative of some of the early bots having weird, belts. Yeah. There were some of them that had, weird studs and, there's a lot of weapons that don't really work.
Definitely, yeah.
And I think one of the biggest things that a lot of robot combat tried, we can talk about, what's his name? Team Hertz. Yes.
Oh, God,
John
yeah.
Reed.
Like, Terrett, yeah, because he... Because that team's actually quite close to where I lived back in the day. Well, when they were building. And the thing is, Terahertz has gone through... Well, it also was originally called Kilohertz, if memory
serves. Yes, it was.
They went through so many different designs. And I will say, this iteration of Terahertz from, I think it was Season 6?
Yes.
That thing was nasty, because that axe, when it was fully pressured, my God, it would literally just bash the crap out of the floor and used to go like crazy. Like, it used to just smack the ground so hard back and forth that it would literally start almost oscillating the entire bot to almost top itself over. It's that bad.
Well, they ended up competing in battle bots. This was called Basher for the pilot of Robot Wars Series 8, the revival series, as we'll talk about. But it was called something else in the US, but there's been all these different kind of kilohertz versions, because he did compete in the US too with the original kilohertz, which was quite a deadly robot, actually.
Oh, yeah, like Kilohertz, I believe that's Season 3 Kilohertz. Yeah. So I remember that one from the World Championship. Like, design-wise and the way it worked, it was pretty good. The problem was it was just the flipper meta that screwed it over.
Well, it's also just, it's the eternal curse of the Hammerbot, in that Hammerbots, I've always thought they were very good ideas and they never quite work right in practice. They never quite have the damage and they're very, very finicky to get off, because you've only got one point really you can attack with and you have to make sure your opponent's in exactly the right place. So it can be very tricky.
Yeah, whereas that form of terrors, because it could also attack robots behind it, that made it very deadly, because I think Terahertz in Season 6, I think it actually got to the grand final, the last four.
Yes, it was one of the... Yeah. I think it was one of the last four, but it did lose its semi-final.
I think it did lose to Razor, which is fair enough. Losing to Razor, you can't exactly complain too much, especially when Razor was in its prime, but
Yes.
Considering how much they had issues trying to get out the heat stages, to get to the grand final was quite a transformation. And obviously, I know the main team leader, I believe it was a professor at the University of Oxford, if memory serves.
Yes, I think it was.
I misremember. Yeah. There's that. And, a lot of these robots you'll see, especially people go online and watch it, especially from Season 3 to Season 6, the amount of evolution there was, and a lot of them was crazy. We saw that with Firestorm, the Hertz team, some of them barely changed as well. I mean, obviously, now we've gone to the house robots, which shunt.
I was going to mention as well that the other part of this equation is the evolution of the house robots, because as the robots got bigger and better and more deadly, with the exception of Sir Kilot, who did see a bit of a rebound, but he was kind of he wasn't a joke, but he was a big petrol-powered robot. He was far heavier than anything else on the field at that point.
Yeah, Shunt. I actually remember having the RC of Shunt and Matilda back in the day. Yes, the old robot was RCs.
That's remade.
And what's crazy is, and obviously Matilda. Oh man, please tell me you have the clip of Matilda getting violated.
I do not. I do not have that clip.
Damn, but damn. Let me find a clip for you.
I can get that one up. But that is a good one where the shell gets ripped off, yes. And that is the flywheel iteration with the strengthened forks of Matilda. So you've got Matilda, you've got Shunt, as we've just shown you. You've got Dead Metal, which is the original one was kind of pathetic, to be honest. That's season one, but they revamped him quite heavily. And he ended up as the... He ended up getting more shit stuck to him, really, I'd say. He ends up, by the time you get to that incarnation, quite busy. But he's a good-looking robot with a friction saw, and that is a friction saw. Oh, yeah. Then you have
Especially when he catches you, and the saw goes in, you just see the sparks everywhere. I'm just like... That's nasty. Yeah, don't worry, I just sent you the clip of Razor versus Matilda. Yeah, it was from the Southern Annihilator match, which was quite
awesome.
Just like a Razor, like, you know, insert Brazza clips, you know, insert Brazza sound effects if you want. Or, like, you know, your various adult content channels, but, like, I mean, Razor wants that booty. Just look at Razor just devouring that booty of Matilda. It's so funny just watching it. Just look what it's doing. The other house robots are like, bro, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
It's so funny, yeah, because I think at the end of this clip, you see Matilda all bandaged up. But
yes.
Then Extreme. Yeah, and then Extreme, they gave her the giant flywheel, which
they
was
did
crazy.
Do, yes.
So I remember
which she ended up having, in the later series as well.
Yeah, Extreme onwards, yeah, had the flywheel, which was, if you got hit by that thing, oof, they went flying.
Quite a good kinetic weapon. That is, I'll go back over here quickly. That is this incarnation with the flywheel and the weird wires.
Because I actually did have Matilda and Shunt as the RC vehicles. What was cool with the control was literally the Robot Wars logo. But yeah, you could actually choose if you have the chainsaw or the flywheel. But I would say if you got that flywheel up and you put your finger next to it, oh, that's going to cause some damage.
Yeah, that was quite cool. I had some of those toys at one point, and they were quite good.
Yeah.
But the other iconic house robot, well, before we get to Sakil Lot, is, of course, Sergeant Bash. Never the most powerful, but he does have the flamethrower.
The flamethrower was cool, especially those pincers, though. Like, oh, those things were nasty, because they're proper hydraulic pincers that the fire department uses.
Yes, they're proper jaws
they,
of
like,
life.
Cut up cars. They're... And I think they're held to... I think they're actually turned up. The PSI... I think they were turned up on them compared to what they use in the fire department, unless I'm mistaken.
I believe they were slightly lower torque, but slightly faster.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
You also have Sakil-A-Lot there, who we've seen in action a few times with Out of the Arenas. He's a very big robot, deceptively big tracks, huge, much heavier.
Oh, yeah, 280 kilos of memory serves. Although I think the final version of it, which was done in the remake, was like they doubled its weight.
Yeah, it was huge because things had moved on.
Yeah. Like I remember there was a big contest of the flippers. Could they flip Kill-A-Lot?
Yes.
And I don't think any of them did, if memory serves. Although some came close.
Somebody came close. The thing is with Kill-A-Lot is he's got so much weight low down, he just falls back over if you get him on his side.
Yeah, like I think the only. I mean, I know. Behemoth came close to put it on its front.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it put it on its front uses because he could just use his claw and lance to like drop it to put it back on its tracks. But yes, Growlithe. Like this thing was Jesus Christ, Growlithe. My God.
That was one of the. Was it on the Seventh Wars? Was it?
I think it was season six.
Because the Sixth Wars saw a change up to the. Had Mr. Psycho, which never quite worked.
Well, Mr. Psycho had like double the weight on Kill-A-Lot. It was like the new king of the house robots.
Yes, he was meant
but
to be
Growlithe,
new Kill-A-Lot.
Yeah, I think Growlithe, if memory serves, this thing was still like 200 plus kilos. And if I remember, I think this was on record the fastest robot ever in Robot Wars history.
Yes, they built it for speed. It was quite cool. Its main grappling weapon didn't work. Its mouth grapple didn't work, but it was a harasser. It was a good harasser push bot, basically. And it was good
at
cleaning
up. Right, pit bull. Yeah. It's a pit bull robot.
Hey, pit bull.
Insert pit bull statistics here. But
it's more a pit bull it pushes them into the pit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was so fast. Like if it hit a robot, it was going flying. It would just rugby tackle it.
I always felt like Mr. Psycho never quite worked, right? He was a bit of a clunky robot.
Oh, it was the hammer.
Yeah, the hammer.
The problem
was
the hammer, because the way it dropped, it sort of like stopped halfway. So if the robot was too low, it wouldn't actually do anything to it.
I'll quickly get a clip of Mr. Psycho here. Because he was he was a bit of a flawed robot, but kind of a cool robot. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, but the Growlithe was quite fun, especially when it ran like one corner to the other. You see what I mean?
It was very special effects. Yeah.
Yeah, you see what I mean? Like, not very impressive. Like, look, that doesn't no damage because of the way the hammer is. It's like it's too big, and the point is too like squared off.
Yeah, and it doesn't fall fast enough either. They knocked it out of the park with the first house robots. They definitely did.
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah.
But other thing I want to mention is that as the meta moves on in Robot Wars, you end up with... We've talked about static wedges. We've not talked about spinners yet, although we will do in a sec. But the issue is that you end up with another problem, which is a problem that actually BattleBots had, is that... Invertible push boxes are the best form of robot for survivability. You have the most batteries, you have the most armor, you have the most speed, and you're the most survivable as an invertible push box. That's just fact.
Because you troll the flippers, because it's like, well, you can't flip them up on their back, because they'll just keep on going. And Tornado, especially, he was the true box on wheels classification. Yes. But like, it just kept going and going and going. Like, only once it had a shocking reliability failure, and that was against one of the meme robots back in the day, Deator, in season 5.
Yes.
That was a big upset, by the way. But
I believe that was another... Throughout the series, Robot Wars had awful problems with the transmitters and receivers. They had a dirty EM spectrum environment. They had a lot... The arena itself didn't help very well. So in a lot of the early seasons, some of the immobilizations, in quotes, are just them losing signal. little bit of a low rent thing there, but
yeah, because I do know when they leave the arena and have to go for a pest, they have to have a special like immobilizer on it.
Yes,
almost like a kill switch on it, just to make sure no one potentially gets hurt in the arena in the backstages.
Speaking of push boxes, the Razor team being a little bit petulant earlier, but honestly, I think this is possibly the most controversial fight, or one of the most controversial fights in Robot Wars history.
From the beginning?
They're coming on now, because we'll see. There's Razor.
21 battles at 96 kilos. Ian Lewis, Simon Scott, and Vinnie Blood, and Razor.
Man, I'll tell you what. If you want to talk about an angry...
Look at this thing!
The space frame. Yes, the scaffolding robot right here.
Well, the whole point is they built a specific weapon for Razor. They built a frame for Razor. But as we'll see as the fight goes on here, it also means that it no longer fits in the pit. There does need to be a maximum size envelope, really.
This was changed in season 7 / World Championship 2.
Yes.
They changed the rules saying it cannot be bigger than the pit.
Yes. Because this really did annoy people. And to be fair, they did have a good active... They had an okay active weapon there.
Yeah, it was not a bad flywheel.
But they also
the thing was...
Yeah, they left themselves open to be led around like this, though.
Yeah, that was a slight issue because of the design. But I do remember, I think it might have been the World Championships too. They had a rap. They had another match against each other. Razor had a better claw because that little pale piece there, they're trying to hook onto it. Like, they actually got a proper hook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he actually managed to catch them and sort of lift them up high. And they quote-unquote immobilized them. But funny enough, they won by a technicality, but they gave their position up because they admitted they actually burnt their motors out.
Yes, it was a never-ending lift, which is, again, very controversial because the way... It's surprising, actually, there hasn't been more controversy in Robot Wars because generally...
Yeah.
I know I made a joke about the gentleman's agreement, but there is a lot of quite good sportsmanship generally in Robot Wars.
Like, I mean, Razor, despite them being quite petulant, like, they can be quite crybaby-ish, they were actually pretty good sportsmen when it came to... when it comes to when they damaged a robot. So, like, when Razor and Tornado first met, Razor basically went for one of the transmitters and then, like, damaged their battery unit, and that was it. They didn't go crazy like what they did with Matilda, where they violated it completely. Basically, this is an example where Razor sort of pinned on the wall.
Yes.
And they can't get out. Now, I think older series, they would have classified it, oh, it's immobilized. The problem was, it's just jammed under the arena. Where the side utter.
It's still in an immobilization, I'd say. Because that's happened before. But if I remember correctly, they do come back out from this. There he is.
Yeah, they get nudged. Yeah, they get nudged by
the... There's the moment where the... I'm trying to find whether... There it is.
Yeah, that's the major controversy.
This is the controversial moment, right in the fight, because really they lose the pushing match. To a degree, they lose traction. They get picked. Like, look at them. They get suplexed. Yeah, and they did. To be fair, that maneuver with all the fuckery that's been pulled there, I think Razor deserves to win this fight. As much as I make fun of them and think that in some ways they are a slightly overrated robot in certain people's minds.
Like what kind of annoys me though, when you lift them up, do you realize that? I wish they could have lifted them up, spun them around, and dropped them out of the arena.
Yeah.
Because they're arguing there, part of it's in the pit, so it should count. But like, you know, that was a huge question. I think they just lost on, I think it was aggression points, because back in the days, if there was a judge's decision, it based on style, control, damage, and aggression.
Yes.
And depending on how it was, depending on how the points lined up, I don't think there was any weight to certain sides.
No, it was a bit kind of flat, and it did lead to some slightly odd decisions, I'd agree.
Yeah, like, I remember there was one judge's decision, apparently there was 1 point in it.
Yes. To be fair, though, when it goes to judges, it always is a bit of a toss-up. I think...
Like, it depends.
Spirit of the rules, I think, should have given that one to Razor, but...
Yeah, but I mean, if you watch the whole fight, you can find it on YouTube. Like, if you looked at raw aggression...
Yes.
You know, Tornado wins their hands down. Style, it's kind of awkward how they reference style. Because when you think style and sort of combat stuff, you know, some of you may think like Devil May Cry style, we pull off a fancy move or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the fact Razor was lifting them up, you could argue they won style just for that alone.
That was quite a stylish ending, that's a very stylish ending.
Yeah. And then when you look at damage, it's like, okay, Razor did get a bit more damage. But to be fair, Razor, if you actually look at it, like, it barely gets any damage on it. That's the weird thing about it. It could take some abuse, Razor, believe it or not. Despite it looks a bit fragile based on its design, but it's actually surprisingly strong.
No, it is. It is quite a robust robot. Speaking of something that could never be a judge's decision, though, we move on to some of the rare spinners. We saw Pussycat earlier in action. I'll get that up on screen in a sec. Because it is a cool robot. Hypnodisc is the iconic spinner, I would say, of Golden Era Robot Wars.
I mean, yeah, because they're based in Banbury as well, which you know, isn't far from where I live. But Hypnodisc didn't. I mean, the main difference between the seasons went on was just how big that flywheel got.
Yes. The original Hypnodisc was not the deadliest, but in Series 3, as I'll show here, it did surprise people. I haven't got that up anymore. I'll grab that in a sec. But it did surprise people because people were not used to the sheer damage it could do, yeah. Here it is. I do have the fight here, actually, just in a different tab. But here it is fighting a robot called Robogeddon, and I believe this is one of... It's one of the first proper spinner matches in Robot Wars history.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But Hypnodisc...
A great example. One of the best examples of Hypnodisc destruction is actually against Splinter in Season 4. You can actually find a gift of this on, like, Discord or, like, any of your messaging apps.
There we are.
Yeah, look, it's just putting a little bit of damage on there and then wait for it goes in for the kill. Like,
not the most armored robot, but like Series 3, still the robots are quite primitive. And
yeah, I mean, look, yeah, I mean, that looks like it's made out of paper mache in a sense, or very thin, like tin. But like soon we'll just see it just absolutely split it open.
Well, the problem with the Hypnodisc at this point is it had a very powerful motor to run the flywheel because it only had one motor. They had to turn off the drive while spinning up the disc. It was actually an inertial disc. It was a kinetic storage rather than an active weapon, like an active disc, which was kind of interesting, really. But it did allow them at this point to have quite a strong weapon.
Oh yeah, like especially season 5 when they increased the flywheel size, like they managed to get around that, and they also introduced a Shreemech ultimately because that's what screwed them over in the final season 3.
But,
like,
yes, they did.
Just took enough all the
They got and as you can imagine, Hypnodisc did eventually get flipped as the Flipper Meta. It really is one of the quintessential matches of the Flipper Meta, is Hypnodisc just getting flipped.
Yeah, against Chaos 2.
It was Chaos 2, just kind of went yoink.
Yeah, but there's also, what is it? Like, there was another robot from Season 5 and Season 6 called 13 Black, which had a twin flywheel setup.
Yes, I remember that thing.
That was quite a deadly combination because people were like, holy crud, they saw it. And they're like, oh, sugar, this could make an upset. And funny enough, they had a little controversy as well against Razor. Because one of the rules in Robot Wars is, especially if you have a spinner, you're not allowed to start it up before the activate announcement.
Yes.
When you do the countdown.
Yes, that's true.
But 13 Black was caught spinning up just before they had the activate, which was a bit of a no-no.
That's a big no-no.
And I remember when it, because also as well, you're not allowed to move before the activate. But there had been times where like certain robots have moved just before it. So it's kind of like the whole Olympic starters, like do you go before, or like, you know, order motor racing where they go before the light goes green or comes off red.
Yeah, false
now
starts.
Now we're on to Pussycat. Yeah, like this thing is quite a, this is quite another iconic machine right here, because this wasn't your typical invertible robot. This was basically a case of, no matter what position you put us in, we're moving.
Pussycat was good because it wasn't the most damaging at first. I believe they also had their own controversy, though, with the hardened steel blade.
Oh, yes, season 5. Yes, they had a carbon disc.
Yes.
And what happened was it shattered, and I mean properly shattered, and you see
like an angle grinder shatters, yes. And the...
Yeah, like any...
The
yeah.
arena in the original Robot Wars was not the best armored. It did not have the double ply protection of the modern arena and the BattleBots arena. I don't think it was even as strong as the original BattleBots arena. It didn't have a lid on it at first, I believe, as well. There's a net in the early seasons for bits to fly out.
That's true, yeah. But yeah, because basically for those who ever not worked with hard like carbon steel products, it basically shattered and it almost turned the blade into dust. And the problem is you have major health and safety issues right afterwards. So they instantly called cease and they effectively disqualified them for it.
It could have killed someone in the audience, and that's not an exaggeration. Oh, an exploding carbon carbide like disc like that. That can move at the speed of a bullet. That would just go through the single ply Lexan they had there, like butter, if it was a big enough chunk in the right direction. They were quite lucky nobody did get hurt with that. It's a remote possibility, but it is still a possibility.
Sorry, but I you just went quiet there. Was that me disconnecting now?
Oh, no, I think that's just Discord being recording on mine, so it's fine. Dodgy for a few days, but the original Robot Wars arena was a little bit ramshackled. This brings us on to, I think, one of our last points here, which is, I think we've been through all our little
the remake,
classic,
the reboot,
yeah, clips. Now, I won't be playing anything from the remake because it will all get copyright struck, I believe. Yeah. But Robot Wars Series 8 was a 2016 revival of the series. Somewhat successfully, I would argue. I don't think it felt the same as the issue. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I did get back into it, and obviously it was Dara O'Brien who was hosting it, which was quite a change of pace because most people think of Dara O'Brien as the host of Mock the Week, which was fine. But like, I think the issue was I think because of how long it's been, and I think BattleBots was quite big in America at the time.
Yes,
I think too many followed the BattleBots method, and that's where you obviously got Carbine here, who, if memory serves, won season 1 of the reboot. That's when it went spinner mad. That's when it basically, almost every single robot, I would say at least 70% of the robots were spinners. Whereas before it was like less than 10%. But now we're talking like over 70% spinners.
It wasn't as bad in the original, but the thing is, Terahertz was in there, Razor was in there. They both got utterly destroyed. There was a few kind of also ran bots, Bonk, Behemoth with Inzo, who actually did pretty well. The General.
Yeah, Razor went out of the first round because I know it was very disappointing, but like, I think it was that Stake Free, was it that one? If you scroll down, was that Stake Free in the middle there of the veterans?
Bonk.
Yeah, Stake Free. Oh, no, this one. Kill six. Cranky, yeah. I think that was called Stake Free or something, yeah. Yeah, that thing, you know what I mean? Like, that was quite an impressive robot in the old series.
It was, yes.
Because of its shape. Because of its shape, it's very awkward to get, especially for like a flipper or like a pincer type, like Razor. It was very awkward to deal with. But yeah, like, definitely the new series, it went completely spinner mad.
The big thing...
It went completely spinner mad.
When you get into the 2016 season as opposed to the 2000, you know, the one ending in 2004 is battery technology. Lipos. Oh, yeah. You are seeing robots run in the season 2 and 3 of BattleBots, of Robot Wars, and the early BattleBots episodes with effectively lead acid batteries. In many cases, they're using car batteries. Yeah. They're using wheelchair motors. They're a 12-volt system. In many cases, there's not the most power on tap. Once you get into the Revival series and being on parallel with stuff like BattleBots, you end up with so much more kinetic energy, so much more speed, and it becomes a very, very different game in many ways. I'm actually quite glad how much of its character it did retain, but it was a weird mix of both of them, and in the end it ended up not being either, if you know what I mean? A lot of the Robot Wars robots just got laughed at. And
it did, because ultimately they moved on.
There was a lot of training for BattleBots going on, because really Carbide and some of its incarnations were quite successful within the American series. There was its sequel that did very well and nearly got to one of the semifinals, I believe. But never quite delivered fully.
I remember the Razor team, they actually used a completely different bot in BattleBots, but I remember it was quite a controversial one. It was a weird like spinner, but it had like wings on it as well. And I remember it got into some controversies as well. I'm trying to remember what it was called.
I remember it. It was a very odd looking robot, and it did a headstand and righted itself quite famously.
Oh man, this is a nice trip down memory lane. Hopefully it is for everyone else watching here.
Oh, yes. I've not got too much else. We are getting towards the hour point here. I don't want this to be too much longer than an hour. And to be fair, we've kind of gone through the discussion quite naturally. It's been quite good. The other kind of elephant in the room is BattleBots as well, unless you have more to say about the Revival series.
Well, I would say with the classic series as well, just small side tangent, they did actually make a couple of video games for it. There was Arenas of Destruction for the PlayStation 2, which was great fun. There was Extreme Destruction, which was for the original Xbox. They're not the same game with different titles. They actually have different standards. Like, Extreme Destruction had more licensed robots from the original Robot Wars. But they also had, like, multiple customer arenas. You could make your own robots. Great fun. I mean, if you could find hard copies, physical copies of it, great. If not, I mean, we don't support illegal activities here. But do try and find physical copies if you can. And there was one for the Game Boy Advance, I remember. I think it was just called Robot Wars for the Game Boy Advance.
I believe I had the first one. The Game Boy Advance
was
Extreme
very good. Destruction.
Yeah,
this is Extreme Destruction, yeah. This was really cool, like, because this one, you could actually build invertible robots. And I will say this, the flipping mechanics were hilarious.
Because
you could turn robots into you can literally turn robots into ragdolls. It's quite funny, especially if you're using Wheelie Big Cheese. You just flip a robot and it just spins into uncontrollableness, like ragdoll uncontrollable flippingness. It's hilarious because like there was like no limits on like how much they could spin. And
I remember the one that didn't have the licensed robots more though.
I think there was Arenas of Destruction. There was like a lot of custom made robots for the game.
I think it was Arenas of that was the one that had quite a good. There it is. Quite a good kind of customization model in it.
Also, it was quite interesting because you had multiple different engine types, murder types. Yes. The arenas of destruction, yeah. Like, I would say this right now. One of the robots I do know, if you do the very first championships in the UK arena, that thing has a completely different motor setup compared to its true form, yes. Which I always found funny. It was the only one that had a different rule. Hmm. But yeah, like, it did have a... But I do know that you could get the original robots in there, but you had to unlock them. But I would say most of the Robot Wars robots were pretty useless, I will have to say, other than maybe Chaos 2.
Yes.
But my God, the front flipper did love to just ball off.
They all, a lot of these games were relatively janky. But
they were good fun. They were good fun. They were good fun, though, nonetheless.
I would say that really I had some of the spirit of, even though it was a game very spinner heavy, a lot of the spirit of Robot Wars did end up in the revived BattleBots. I think that the first series was a little bit ropey because we find their feet, but I'd say 2016 to 2019, course, if you like combat robot stuff and looking for something that's a bit more modern that isn't so BBC-ified. It's a bit American. It's very American in places.
Yeah.
But the battles are pretty good. The format's pretty good. Overall, the team coverage stuff is pretty good. They do a good job of making it into a format. I thought 2019 was maybe the height of it with the big kind of round robin season they did.
For sure. I would say this as well. I'm not sure about you, Scrum, but is there any particular matches from the golden era of RoboWars that you recommend people check out?
Some of the ones we've had on, really. I'd recommend people check out basically any of the Out of the Arena Chaos 2 matches, if you like that stuff. Just all of it's on YouTube. I'd suggest if you just want to watch, like, Season 3, 4 and stuff like that, get a feel for it. It's quite a nice thing just to watch, and it's not in its entirety, but if you just get a random episode, it might have some duff matches. And you'll realize that. Yeah. But if you go from like the highlights reels and kind of move downwards and manage your expectations slightly with it being a bit older, it's good fun. And it is, at the end of the day, like competitive engineering. It's the revival series. Yeah.
I'll send you a link.
Oh, will you?
That's to the series 1 to 6. It's all on YouTube, BBC Robot Wars UK. They have everything from season 1 to season 6, Extreme 1 and 2, the original championships. Yeah, this channel right here. I don't think it's Dave hit a copyright strike. It's been up for like 12, 13 years.
Yes.
They have like each season, yeah, so it's great. And for me, I think if you want an absolute classic Robot Wars match, look up Chaos 2 versus Wild Thing.
Ah, that's a great match, yes. That is a very good match.
If you
want to
talk about close calls, that is a great match. But yes.
Do remember, if you liked this, to drop us a like and stuff. Do go look at, I think we're shilling Yiz's channel for you.
Sure thing, yeah.
And just check, go to the, if you want to support me in terms of finance and the channel, you can do it via the Ko-Fi, or you can leave super thanks and things on YouTube. I'm not going to rush us out, though. Is there any more overriding memories you have, or anything else you'd recommend to people if they are a bit more interested in the slightly esoteric history of Robot Wars?
Let me think here. Well, obviously, we got the BBC, which had everything was made for the BBC. To be fair, almost nothing has been taken down, surprisingly. Another thing I would recommend... I think there might be a couple of channels out there, but I've forgotten, of who went through the history of the Robot Wars or talked about Robot Wars, certain robots' evolution as time go on, which is always good. But then also, what's another good? There's one other thing I remember. Yeah, also, like, if you get a chance, just check out the video games in question. Like, I would recommend Arenas of Destruction a little bit more than Extreme Destruction. But I'm sure, it's pretty popular in the UK. I doubt you'll struggle to find a copy outside of the UK. I think it was also on the PC as well. So if you'd like to have fun with modding, go right ahead.
Anyway, I will say thank you for being on, Kizza. It's been a pleasure having you.
Don't worry, friend. It's always a good pleasure. Also, before we forget, do check out Scrump and his partner, Eleven, on their Telegram channel.
Oh, yes.
Because they do like to post some spicy memes content and also say good morning every day.
That is in the description. I do try and shill the Telegram. But yes, if you want to click on the links below, feel free to interact. We have the Anti-Politics Substack as well for written content. But where's it, guys? Sorry, I'm trying to find... I've got a... the Robot Wars music here as it's going out. I'll play us out a little bit with this then. So thank you, thanks everybody for watching. We'll be doing slightly different content as time goes on. But this was just something I think a bit fun, and I hope you've all had a good Christmas. Since Christmas hasn't been here yet, this is going up on Boxing Day. So a happy New Year to everybody, and have a very good holiday season. And goodbye from me.
Take care, friends.
Bye.